Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Once again, joined by Oliver Friesen, CEO of Golden Metal Resources. Welcome back, Oliver.
Hey, gents. How are you guys doing?
Well, good, thanks. Yeah, so you've just announced promising high-grade copper, silver, and gold mineralization from over-limit assay testing at the 100% owned Garfield project in Nevada's Walker Lane mineral belt. Key highlights include 11 out of 32 samples showing over 1% copper equivalent, with standout results of 23.92% copper equivalent. These findings from Garfield, located in the north-south copper-gold porphyry skarn belt, show significant potential for a large-scale copper deposit. The results, which extend beyond the previously identified 1.8-kilometre by 0.8-kilometre high-grade zone, prompt Golden Metal to swiftly plan further exploration steps, guided by expert geochemist Simon Griffiths. You seem very excited, and to quote from X this morning, truly blown away by these results to see intense and high-grade CUAUAG porphyry mineralization over a footprint of this size has the whole GMET team very, very excited. The Golden Metal Resources portfolio delivers again. You must be delighted with these results, Oliver.
Yeah, no, we absolutely are. I mean, I think I mentioned the last time we spoke, gents, that I've spent a lot of time looking at copper, gold, silver porphyries in my career, and to have the consistency of not only the copper but also the kicker grades in gold and silver, and then I think more importantly, just the consistency of that mineralization over a really large area. It's important to know that these aren't kind of cherry picked samples. You know, the geologist goes in there and takes representative samples over a large area. So to see that footprint and to see, you know, the amount of samples returning greater than 1% copper equivalent obviously has us very, very excited and looking forward to the next steps here.
Yeah, I mean, great results. Obviously, we had the initial results from Garfield, and then there was many of them that were over the 1% copper. So you went back then to those 11 samples, I believe it was, that then got assayed. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, right? So the way that it works is when we send these to the lab, there's certain analytical methods that you choose depending on kind of what grades you expect. So for instance, the gold per se, we had an upper limit of 1 gram per ton. And the reason that we selected that is because we're looking at a copper porphyry, right? So typically grades are, you know, 0.2, 0.3, maybe 0.5 if you're lucky. And that's gram per ton, 0.5 gram per ton. The highest grade ever achieved from Garfield from the other zones was just under 1 gram per ton. So obviously we set our limit at 1 gram per ton. And sure enough, you know, not only did the copper go over limit on several samples, but the gold did as well. And one of the gold over limits returned 27.2 grams per ton, which I was truly just blown away by. I mean, you just don't see those grades in a copper porphyry. So that's why we put out the initial results and then followed up with the over limit assays now. And as we discussed last podcast, we put out a copper equivalent as well to help investors understand the significance of the gold and silver grades as well.
Yeah, I mean, the copper equivalent of just shy of 24% of the rock is bloody phenomenal. If you found a lot of that, you would be very happy. But obviously, I've got to be realistic. You're not going to find tons and tons of that. You wouldn't imagine. I mean, maybe you will in a strike. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. But I think people need to understand the overall of this is that anything over 1% copper equivalent is happy days in this particular scenario.
Yeah, no, I think the average copper porphyry grade being mined worldwide, and these are billion-dollar projects owned by the biggest companies in the world, biggest mining companies in the world, is hovering around 0.5 or 0.5% copper equivalent. So that just puts into perspective here what we're looking at when, you know, it's not just the magnitude, like you said, up to almost 24% copper equivalent, but to see the consistency of those high grades across a large area, that's what really has us excited.
Yeah, and what's then, you know, I know you can't probably be very specific, but what are the next steps? I mean, it was very relevant when I was reading the RNS that you were pointing out to the investors that effectively you're just going up the value scale here. Nobody's talking about Golden Metal Resources becoming a copper miner in the next year or two. You know, the fact of the matter is we've got to get this up the value scale, and then I don't know. You will have a choice to make, obviously, whether you mine it yourself or whether someone else comes in. But normally, in the small explorers, you're taking up the value chain and someone else is coming in and say, thank you very much, that's X thousand or million tons of copper.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it there. We're looking to just continue to add value here with each incremental exploration dollar spent. I don't think anyone can argue that we haven't done that with Garfield and the other assets in the portfolio. So that's what we'll continue to do. In terms of what the actual tangible next steps are, as mentioned in the release, we're just, you know, working with Simon Griffiths again, who's very, very experienced geologist and geochemist, especially in Western USA and in Nevada. So we're working right now with him. Now that we have the final results in hand, we'll work through those and do some analyses, and then we'll announce to the market as quickly as we can here what those next steps are going to be. But as a reminder, it's all BLM ground. So in terms of permitting, for trenching, for drilling, or whatever else, those turnaround times for permits are some month. Usually it's around 2 to 3 weeks. So yeah, looking forward to finalizing some of these results and our theories with Simon, and then looking to get some news out to the market here is what we're going to do next year and how we're going to push it up the value chain even further with the next stage of work.
So for sure, that 23% or 23.92% copper, there is a trench going in there for sure to see what the situation is. I wanna just quickly in 2 or 3 minutes try and paint the picture for people of what's happened since you've came to market on my birthday. Again, I reiterate, you're worth £6.5 million roughly on the market at the minute.
Yeah,
you've got the Pilot Mountain project, which is tungsten. Just explain to us how much we already know about that project and what is the next likely step.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Pilot Mountain, that is obviously a very valuable asset in the portfolio. It's currently our flagship. The value that we have there, I mean, we're continuing to push that one up the value curve as well. We've announced since we listed on your birthday, May 10th. I'm sure most of the UK is familiar with that date. Now you'll get lots
of expecting lots of abuse on May 10th or lots of presents. I'm not sure which.
No, exactly. But I mean, the ways that we pushed that one up the value curve since we've listed, number one was the geophysics that we did that identified 5 very high priority target zones that have never been drilled before and that have geophysical signatures almost identical to the majority of the in-ground resource there. So, you know, the scope and the bandwidth to increase the in-ground resource there, you know, materially went up there. And we think the opportunity is quite massive in terms of the exploration upside, alongside developing what we have in the ground right now. So a great sort of 1-2 punch there at Pilot Mountain.
But the in-ground resource is how much exactly?
Well, is it? I mean, if we calculate the in-situ metal value, obviously there's a lot more work that needs to go in to actually figure out what an economic value is. But if you just take the amount of contained metal in the ground at what we have right now, it's just over $1.5 billion. And as I mentioned, we think there's scope to increase. Well, the previous operator put together a report that highlighted a 2x or 3x increase in the in-ground resource size. And that doesn't include the latest geophysical results that we have announced. But other ways
to add it. So just for the investors, we're not in any doubt that there is tungsten in the ground.
No. No, it is there. I mean, it was done to JORC compliance, which is the Australian code at the time. So it's been, you know, vetted significantly. And you know, it's not like there's been 2 drill holes and they've kind of pulled this number there. It's been vetted and they've actually published this resource under the JORC code in Australia. So we're very confident in what's in the ground. The question is, what more can we find? And we think there's a much bigger story there.
Moving on quickly, because I don't want to spend a lot.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
some people to overview each one. The Kibby Basin Lithium Project, then just give us 2 lines on what is the situation there.
So Kibby Basin is a very exciting lithium brine opportunity. Lithium brines being one of the most significant sources of lithium in the U.S. And Kibby Basin was an opportunity that our team identified when we were actually visiting Pilot Mountain, just looking down into the Valley Basin. And there's a company that's made 2 or has drilled 2 holes and made some very significant lithium clay discoveries within that basin and some brine discoveries as well. However, there's a significant conductor there that extends onto our ground that's never been tested. So we move quickly to secure that ground. And for pennies on the dollar, we have a very exciting lithium brine opportunity that we're pushing forward. And hopefully we'll have some more news on that in the short term as well.
Okay. And then the Golconda Summit project?
Yeah, Golconda Summit is a Carlin-type gold opportunity. We have some very significant gold trenches that were done historically at surface there. Carlin Gold being the most significant gold deposits found in the U.S. And it's the reason why Nevada is the mining powerhouse that it is. So there we pushed that forward, expanded our understanding with our in-country consultant who was, he's a Carlin specialist formerly with Newmont Mining at the Lone Tree Mine. So what we've done there is we've pushed our understanding ahead. I've done lots of mapping and rock sampling, confirmed the presence of a feeder zone. And following that, we've gone and permitted for trenching and drilling. And now we're waiting to announce in the market the next steps here on that one.
Okay. And finally, then the Stonewall project.
We've staked some additional ground, but with everything else going on in the portfolio, we haven't done a ton of work on that one since listing. The majority of the focus being on Pilot, Golconda, Kibby, and obviously Garfield now as well. So we'll look to do some work on Stonewall in 2024. But obviously, there's a lot of meat on the bone with what we're dealing here and can only, you know, have the scope to do so much at one time.
Okay, so the four projects, the Pilot Mountain, the Kibby Basin Lithium, the Golconda and the Garfield, which obviously has had great news today. I mean, obviously, you've still got to trench, you've got to drill, you've got to do all those other things to get an economic resource out of it. But the copper's there, quite obviously, and probably streaks of gold as well, by the looks of things. Is it worth £6.5 million?
Well, I can't comment on that. So I'll get in trouble. What I'll say is, and I think you're making a good point here, which is, you know, we're slightly down since our admission. But I think what you're pointing out rightly is the value that we've added to the portfolio across those four assets in the 7-8 months since we've listed. So I'll let listeners figure out if we're worth more or less. But, you know, all I can say is that, you know, we've continued to do our job as a management team, which is to add value to the portfolio, to push each asset up the value curve, obviously manage, you know, and continue to maintain our great cap structure, share structure. So we're going to continue what we're doing. And I think, you know, into 2024 here, I think the markets are looking primed. Some names are starting to move here. So we think we're in a really good spot.
Yeah. And you have a valuation note, I think, that is at 33 or 35 pence as a fair value for those assets. And I think Pilot Mountain could probably be worth several factors of that if it comes in as you hoped. And all the others, as you say, are pushing up this value chain. You came to the market, I think, at about £7.5 million, and now you're £6.5 million. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, you've done a great job to push it to this point, and let's hope the market recognizes this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Kevin. And just a note on that, the research note that I think it was 33 pence was a price target for gold metal. And that did not include Kibby, Golconda, Garfield, or Stonewall. That was just the valuation based on the in-ground resource at Pilot Mountain. So as we continue to add value at Golconda, Garfield, and Kibby, and Stonewall as well, I think it just really points to the value we've added here and what the potential could be here in 2024.
Yep. Okay, great. Oliver Fries and CEO of Golden Metal Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Jens.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.